has released a video this week urging active duty troops to not carry out illegal orders. President Trump says they should be tried for treason. We speak to one of them ahead on Morning Edition from NPR News. The State Department says it wants to target Antifa groups across the globe. I'm E. Martinez.
And I'm Leila Faldin. We take a look at the first groups the U.S. is now designating as foreign terrorist organizations. Also, newly elected New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani heads to the White House today to meet with President Trump. And Toni Braxton gets to watch her songs come to life as movies on the Lifetime Network. It's Friday, November 21st. Happy birthday to the woman who asked the pivotal question, "Call me maybe." Singer-songwriter Carly Rae Jepsen turns 40. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. Army Secretary Dan Driscoll has met Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv. Driscoll went over a draft plan that aims to end Russia's war in Ukraine, but it calls on Ukraine to give up all its land in the eastern part of the country to Russia. NPR's Tom Bowman says the plan was devised by President Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, and his counterpart, a Russian businessman.
The proposal appears to give Russia everything they want in more. Right now, the Russians control about 88% of the eastern Donbas region, and this proposal gives them all that land. Also, Britain and other European nations had planned on sending troops to oversee a peace agreement. That proposal says that will not happen. Those are among the reasons the French foreign minister said peace cannot be a capitulation. And it's likely other European allies will balk at this plan as well.
NPR's Tom Bowman reporting. President Trump has lifted tariffs on agricultural imports from Brazil. NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports the move highlights how Trump's tariff policy has treated Brazil differently than other countries.
Late last week, when Trump signed an executive order removing tariffs from a long list of agricultural imports, the order did not remove steep tariffs from Brazilian goods. In a new executive order, Trump removed tariffs from Brazil's goods as well. Earlier this year, Trump imposed tariffs totaling 50% on Brazilian goods. A major reason he cited was the prosecution of former far-right Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro for his role in attempting to overturn the results of a 2022 election. The tariff reversal comes as many Americans worry about affordability and as Trump's tariffs contribute to inflation. The Brazil tariffs particularly affected coffee. Around 30% of U.S. coffee imports come from Brazil. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News, The White House.
President Trump will welcome New York City Mayor-elect Zohran Mamdani to the White House today. Both have heavily criticized each other. The National Association of Realtors says that sales of existing homes were up more than 1% in October. NPR's Scott Newman reports buyers took advantage of lower mortgage rates.
The monthly figures from the National Association of Realtors show a varied picture nationwide, with sales up in the Midwest and South, where prices are lowest. Sales were flat in the Northeast and actually fell in the West, the region where homes are most expensive. Overall, the median price for a home was $415,200 in October, and year-on-year sales of existing homes were up 1.7%. The average rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage in October was 6.25%. About 9 out of 10 sales in the U.S. are of existing homes, not new builds. So the latest data, which shows a slight slowdown from September, is a key indicator of where the housing market is heading. Scott Newman, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to NPR. Federal officials say they've seen evidence of cracks in one of the engine mounts aboard a UPS charter plane that crashed 2 weeks ago in Louisville. 14 people were killed in the fiery crash. The National Transportation Safety Board says the jet's left engine fell off just as the plane tried to get airborne. A federal appeals court judge has issued a blistering dissent. That's after two other judges on the same panel blocked Texas's redistricting map. The case affects whether Republicans can keep control of the House and support President Trump's goals. From Houston Public Radio, Andrew Schneider reports.
U.S. Circuit Judge Jerry E. Smith lost in the 2-1 ruling. In a more than 100-page dissent, Smith wrote the big winners in the case are liberal activists and politicians. And South Texas College of Law Houston professor Josh Blackman says Smith argues his fellow judges displayed their own judicial activism.
It's unusual for a judge to talk about politics so much. much, but the basic claim is this is about politics. And under the controlling precedent of the circuit, gerrymandering is permissible for political reasons, even if not for racial reasons.
The U.S. Supreme Court is expected to weigh in. For NPR News, I'm Andrew Schneider in Houston.
A federal judge has ruled that President Trump's deployment of National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. is unlawful. The judge ordered a block on their deployment, but she also delayed enforcing her order for 3 weeks. That's to give Trump time to appeal. About 2,000 troops from several states are in Washington. President Trump insists they're needed to fight crime. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include MS Now, home to The Rachel Maddow Show, Morning Joe, The Briefing with Jen Psaki, and more. MS Now is a source for news, opinion, and the world. Learn more at ms.now. This is NPR.
I'm Heidi Holton. We're excited at KEXC to be bringing you more jazz programming with our volunteer, Paul Kivi, the history of jazz.
Well, I think this is some of the finest music ever made, and it's kind of gotten lost across time. I pick the songs that I love, and there's lots of them, and there's lots to love. The popular music in the late 20s and 30s, especially the 30s and 40s with the big band era, that was jazz. That was the one period of time when jazz was popular music. And so you're going to hear a lot of things that are easy to get into. If you develop a taste for it, then the stuff that happens starting with Charlie Parker in the late 1940s makes sense.
Hear the history of jazz on KAXC with Paul Kivi, Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 4.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Fadel in Washington, D.C.
And I'm A. Martinez in Los Angeles, California. President Trump accused 6 Democratic lawmakers of seditious behavior that is, quote, punishable by death in an online post yesterday, all because the lawmakers who have military or national security backgrounds recorded this video speaking directly to service members.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
The White House later walked back Trump's comments. In a few minutes, we speak with one of the lawmakers in the video, Representative Jason Crow. First, NPR's Quill Lawrence happened to be interviewing dozens of veterans who were on Capitol Hill this week to talk about this same subject.
41 vets from 21 states visited Washington this week to express concern that National Guard and even active duty troops have been dragged into domestic law enforcement. Jackie Robinson is a 27-year veteran of the Army.
I want to speak out against the politicalization of the military and to protect the Constitution.
Robinson also worked in law enforcement. She says the military has a different mission, and mixing the two is dangerous for troops and civilians.
And the lines are being blurred when you just put someone into a position that they're not trained for.
I served under both Republican and Democratic presidents, commanders in chief.
Alex McCoy is a former Marine.
So this is not a partisan issue. This is not a political issue. It's just a matter of protecting our military from getting sucked into divisive internal politics and avoiding situations where American citizens are afraid of men and women in uniform.
While these vets met with figures from both parties, 6 Democratic lawmakers put out a video.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution.
On social media, President Trump called for the 6 Democrats to be tried for treason. He reposted a suggestion to hang them. White House advisor Stephen Miller spoke on Fox News.
It's a general call for rebellion from the CIA and the armed services of the United States by Democrat lawmakers.
The White House later put out a statement that the president does not want to execute members of Congress. The military swear an oath to the Constitution and are trained that following orders is not a defense for illegal acts. At the moment, there is a debate and lawsuits about whether deploying troops domestically or lethal strikes against alleged drug boats break U.S. or international law. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
Now we turn to Representative Jason Crow of Colorado. He's one of the Democratic lawmakers that was in that video message to U.S. service members. He's also a former paratrooper and Army Ranger. Congressman, good morning and thank you for joining me.
Good morning.
So what was it like to see the president call you and your colleagues traitors who should face execution?
Well, it wasn't a great day, I can tell you that. It's not the first time I've received death threats doing this job, unfortunately, and I'm sure it won't be the last. But I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm not going to...
Do you consider what he said, the president, a death threat?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no other way to take it.
I understand you've also gotten other death threats since these comments. Walk me through what you've been dealing with.
Well, that's right. I mean, you can't have something like that come from the president of the United States and have him tweet and retweet death threats from the Oval Office and not have people take that seriously. I mean, that is the environment that we're in right now. When somebody like Donald Trump says something, or unfortunately people who will act on it. And I know this well because I also lived through the insurrection on January 6th. I was trapped at a House gallery while I saw Trump supporters brutally beat and try to derail our democracy. So I've seen this happen before. And this is unfortunately the environment that Donald Trump has created for us.
Now, the White House later said the president doesn't actually want to execute members of Congress. He simply wants to hold them accountable. I want to play you a bit of what White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt had to say yesterday.
To suggest and encourage that active duty service members defy the chain of command is a very dangerous thing for sitting members of Congress to do. And they should be held accountable. And that's what the president wants to see.
Is that what you were doing in that video, asking the military to defy the chain of command?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, and they actually outright lied. Karoline Leavitt lied about what we said. What we said was U.S. law and the Constitution requires that service members only obey lawful orders, which is actually something that we are trained on from the very first days of our military career. The White House, the president, Stephen Miller, and others then said the opposite of what we said and claimed that we were saying that they should disobey lawful orders, which, of course, is not at all what we did say or would ever say. So that is what they do, though. You know, they twist and contort and just lie about what people say and then weaponize it against them. And we're just never going to stop telling the truth, and we're not going to bow down from our duty.
Now, every one of you in the video have a background in military service, intelligence service. Why did you feel it was important to make this video reminding service members that they can defy illegal orders?
Well, the president has made a number of very disturbing comments related to the use of the military, everything from saying he's going to go to war with Chicago to asking whether or not he could use the military to shoot peaceful protesters, to suggesting that he's going to use the military at polling stations, which is a violation of U.S. criminal law. So given his statements and his lawlessness in the last 11 months, we are in an environment where things like this are very possible. They're even plausible. And then you add on top of that the fact that you have to train people before an incident, right? When I deployed my troop, when I deployed my troops to Iraq in 2003, I didn't wait until they had to make a split-second decision on a mission to train them about what they had to do and what their obligation is. You train them before. I spent months training my platoon on marksmanship and small unit tactics, but also the law of warfare, the Geneva Convention. You cannot wait until they're in that moment. And that's what we're trying to do, is start a conversation with our troops, start a conversation with America about what could happen and what people will do and what their obligation is in that moment.
So it isn't that you are seeing illegal orders being ordered right now. It's that you're anticipating that things that are out there might come to be true?
Well, I personally, and as a member of Congress, have deep concerns about a lot of the activity that the administration is undertaking. But what I'm talking about here, and we were aiming at the video, is you know, what our troops, what you know, our lower listed in ranking, our operational commanders might be facing in the months and years ahead if Trump indeed carries through on some of his threats.
The White House press secretary suggested your message could be punishable by law. Are you anticipating prosecution?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to be intimidated or be made afraid. I mean, that's what they want to do. They want to silence dissent. They want the opposition to be afraid and to be intimidated. I took an oath to this country. This is a lifetime oath to do the right thing and to obey the Constitution and to enforce the Constitution. And no threats and intimidation by the president are ever going to stop me from carrying out that oath.
Democratic Congressman and former Army Ranger Jason Crow, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Just weeks after being elected the next mayor of New York City, Zohran Mamdani is meeting President Trump at the White House.
The 34-year-old Democratic Socialist quickly became a national figure after an upset primary win earlier this year. He's got a lot of fans, particularly among young voters and progressives, but he's also become a foe for many on the right, including President Trump.
NPR political reporter Elena Moore will be covering that meeting. Elena, this is one of these meetings where I did not expect these two in the same room together.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a tradition for the incoming mayor-elect to sit down with the president. Also, New York is an important place. It's the biggest city in the country and President Trump's hometown. He's from Queens, the same borough that Zohran Mamdani represents in the state assembly right now. But despite that connection, Trump has been a vocal critic of Mamdani. Ahead of Election Day, he went as far as to endorse Andrew Cuomo, the former Democratic governor of New York, who was running against Mamdani.
Yeah, and they seem like political polar opposites, so I can kind of see why Trump would be riled up by the new mayor.
Well, yeah, Mamdani ran on the Democratic ticket, but he identifies as a Democratic Socialist, and he's made some ambitious campaign promises aimed at tackling the rising cost of living, like freezing the rent for rent-stabilized apartments and creating city-run grocery stores. But his ideas are also ones that conservatives have painted as radical and extreme. And Trump has really taken that up a notch. He's repeatedly called Mamdani a communist. He said he'd arrest him if he didn't cooperate with ICE raids as mayor, and suggested that Mamdani isn't living in the country legally, even though, he's a naturalized citizen.
And what's been Mamdani's response to Trump?
He's largely stood his ground. I mean, Mamdani made a point even to address the president directly in his victory speech, looking into the camera and telling Trump to turn the volume up.
Hear me, President Trump, when I say this. To get to any of us, you will have to get through all of us.
Part of what makes Mamdani so impactful right now is that he's built a large movement, one that a lot of longtime Democrats just don't have at the moment. In the lead up to Election Day, I talked to voters around the country who said they've been feeling increasingly disappointed by the Democratic Party in recent years, but see Mamdani as a welcome change. So he is popular, and that's why, partly Trump is paying attention.
So what are they going to talk about? New York Knicks basketball?
Oh, I wish. I mean, speaking to reporters yesterday, Mamdani said that even though he disagrees with Trump a lot, he's willing to work with anyone who wants to make life more affordable for New Yorkers. And as a reminder, I mean, Trump vowed to cut New York's federal funding if Mamdani won. So there are real stakes here. But this isn't just about the dollars. You know, this meeting is a reminder of the big shift that Mamdani has to make in these next few weeks as he takes on this job. He's got a background as an activist, but being mayor of New York City is a totally different role. So today may be a test for him, on balancing the policy priorities that got him elected and maintaining the political diplomacy required as mayor.
That's NPR political reporter Elena Moore. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
This is NPR News.
Minutes after 6 o'clock. Thanks for listening to the Friday Morning Show on KAXC. I'm Jennifer Barr. Coming up at about 7:45, What's for Breakfast, where we get to know one of our members. You can be our guest. Text in if you are interested in doing that, 218-326-1234, and we'll get a hold of you when it's time for What's for Breakfast. In the 8 o'clock hour, the sports page, and then at 8:45, we'll learn more about a free Thanksgiving dinner in Grand Rapids. Programming on KAXE is supported in part by the Minnesota Humanities Center, distributing more than $6 million in cultural heritage grants. Funding is available to individuals and organizations that will create, celebrate, and teach Minnesota's diverse arts, culture, and heritage, including Indigenous organizations, historically underrepresented communities, and recent immigrants and veterans. Details at mnhum.org/grants. Mostly sunny today, highs 35 to 41 with light wind, and tonight temperatures into the low to mid-20s, and tomorrow partly sunny, highs 42 to 48. For Sunday, sunny, highs in the mid-40s. The City of Virginia has a twilight holiday parade tomorrow evening starting at 5:15 on Chestnut Street and 5th Avenue. Fireworks will follow on the shore of Silver Lake. Let us know what's happening in your community. Send us an email, psa@kaxe.org.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on safe driving habits at progressive.com. Not available in California or from all agents. From Arm, committed to delivering innovative advanced computing designed to enable worldwide companies to unleash the capabilities and experiences of AI. The future of AI is built on Arm. Arm.com. From Capital One, offering their dining and entertainment card, Saver. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. And from the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at Skoll.org.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Faldad.
I'm E. Martinez.
And I'm Michelle Martin. Toni Braxton was one of the biggest hit makers of the 1990s into the 2000s. But more recently, she's found success in the movies. She developed a unique partnership with the Lifetime Network, producing and starring in movies, some based on her songs. I spoke with Toni Braxton about her latest, inspired by this hit from 2000, He Wasn't Man Enough. I don't watch it with my husband. I was going to say, is this one of these that I think I would watch with my friends?
This is not a husband one.
No.
It's a real girls movie. This is an estrogen movie.
Here's a clip.
I don't believe that you would hide the fact that you're dating my ex.
Wait, what?
Your new fiance, the man I spent the last 2.5 years with, who is leeching off of me. Now he's doing the exact same thing to you.
So, you know, you've been working with Lifetime for 10 years now, right?
Yeah.
How did you go from singer-songwriter to movie mogul?
You know, I kind of stumbled. I've always loved TV. I love movies and watching them and everything about it. As a kid, you know, we were very religious, but we could watch TV and watch movies. We couldn't go to the movies, but we could watch it at home. So, I fell in love with it. Me and my family, we would watch movies all the time.
We found this clip of an interview with you from back in the day.
Oh, my gosh.
This is what you said. Listen to this.
For me, you know, I've always considered myself like the music Lifetime channel for women. You know, women can listen to my music and get inspired and know that we can make it and it's all right. And just stuff especially for us.
Kind of true.
It's kind of like you already knew. I mean, this was years before you started working with Lifetime. It's kind of like you knew that Lifetime was in your future.
I think maybe I did. You know, I think all my stories, when they said we wanted to do movies on your song titles, I've always thought my songs were very girl-friendly. And what is Lifetime about? It's about women, movies for women, about women, you know, promoting women. So it's perfect. I feel like I'm at home.
I wondered if you consciously pivoted away from singing and touring to this chapter.
You know, sometimes the universe works things out that way for you. And in addition, I have lupus, and it made it challenging for me touring and performing and things like that. And even though I can still do it, I can't do it the way I did when I was younger because my body won't allow me. But having an opportunity to do movies is something I've always wanted to do, but was afraid to do it. And I think Lifetime gave me that push and took the fear away. Like, we want you to be in this movie. Let's try it. And I fell in love with it at Hello.
Was, you know, one of the things I've always wanted to ask you is being a sex symbol exhausting? It just seems exhausting.
You know, it's not really who I am in real life. Mm-hmm. People say I'm sexy. I don't feel sexy. I'm 5'1", 113 pounds.
I don't know that that was the marker.
A B cup.
I think it was the eyes. I think it was the focus, the intensity. But I just felt like having to always present a certain way. We want you to be the fantasy object. And it just seemed like, I don't know, it just seemed tiring to me.
You know what? I think my generation was the diamond era of music. That's when everything was glossy and beautiful, and every artist had to have an image. So artist development was very important in my generation. Not so much now. Hmm. But, you know, artists standing behind a microphone, I remember because I played piano and Clive Davis said, not the era to play behind a piano. Stand in front of a microphone. So if you think about artists like Aretha Franklin who play piano, you remember in the 90s, she did not play behind a piano. She was standing in front of a microphone. Even Carole King and people like that, they stopped playing. They was just singing.
Wow, you're right. Now that you think of it, I see exactly what you're saying. Wow. So talk about this movie. Tell us about your character, Mel, and the fix that she is in.
Mel is a confident woman, you know, hanging out with her girlfriends from college. We love each other. And what separates girls sometime? A man. A dude, you know. And even though we love each other, that one guy, that little bit of testosterone can kind of disrupt us a bit. So sometimes women get upset with each other when we should be upset with the guy.
Some of the lines in the film are just brutal. You're having an argument with your then man. and it's a simple thing. I mean, it's a kind of scenario a lot of us have found ourselves in, like you trying to, like, you're late, where are you? I'm calling, you're not answering, like, what's going on? I'll just play this little bit here.
If you had just a little bit of consideration for me and return any of my calls, any of my texts, we wouldn't even be having this conversation now.
See, this right here is exactly why women your age end up alone. Because can't nobody tell you nothing? You don't listen. I'm here trying to tell you what I need.
Did you say women my... Yes!
Oh, brutal.
Yeah, that hurt. That hurt. That was real.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I feel like somebody's heard that before. I mean, I know that you weren't the writer on this, but I feel like somebody's heard that before.
But it was stories, you know, it was my stories based on me and some friends of mine in college, and the writer wrote to it. But yeah, that kind of happened to a girlfriend of mine who used to love her some young boys, and he would remind her often that, oh, you older women. And we were like, I don't know, 27.
Oh, my goodness.
So he was 20. You older women, you expect us to be this, and you have to get with the times. I'm like, older women? So I thought it would be a real part to put in the movie because, you know, we wanted to tell true stories, things that really happened that you sometimes we forget. Like, oh, my God, I forgot about that. That happened to me, too, or it happened to my girlfriend, Naomi. Oh, my God, that's so real. We wanted it to be real stories.
So the thing about Lifetime, right, we all know the deal. I mean, that's why it's comfort food. You know, the typical scenario. Ambitious woman moves to small town, reinvents herself, has setback, finds love with a guy. You kind of flip the script on that in this movie. Is that a fair way to...
I think it's the perfect way to say it. I wanted it to be a little light, a little more fun, a little more... My gentleman often says to me, he'll say, you can't watch a killing movie with me, but you watch Lifetime. And the wife is going to kill the husband for cheating on her eventually. So how come you can't watch this killing movie with me? And I'm like, okay, he has a point.
He can watch his movies.
But Lifetime gives you everything. And I thought this would just be a little lighter because it's based on my songs. And I wanted that to come across.
That's Toni Braxton. Her latest movie for Lifetime is He Wasn't Man Enough. Toni Braxton, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, sis. It's so good to talk to you again.
This is NPR News.
A bipartisan group in the House wants to ban members of Congress from trading individual stocks. They argue lawmakers have access to information that most Americans don't, and that creates an appearance that they are profiting from their jobs.
We all know what's going on. Congress knows what's going on, and it needs to stop.
I'm Elsa Chang, the quote, fist fight over stock trading on All Things Considered from NPR News.
can hear All Things Considered coming up this afternoon. It's at 4 o'clock here on People Powered KEXE. Your local host will be Andrew Dzingel. Good morning. It is 6:29, almost 6:30, and this is the Friday Morning Show on this November 21st.
What's the hurry?
Next week at this time, we'll have already celebrated Thanksgiving, and we're heading into the year, the end of year sort of shenanigans. That
Christmas lights, speaking of shenanigans, Christmas lights are going up like crazy.
I think they have since, I'm not kidding, the day after Halloween. Wow. I started seeing people outside their houses. I want to give a big thanks to all of you. Yesterday was a big day in the state of Minnesota. It was Give to the Max Day. And we hope that you are able to support the nonprofits in northern Minnesota that mean something to you. We got a lot of pledges that came in. We thank you so much for that. We had found out that we had another match on the table thanks to the McKnight Foundation. And now to the end of the year, we are still under this News Match 2025, and your gift can go even further. We went from one day from 3-1 to 4-1 that your money will be matched.
Really?
We have over $35,000 in matching funds to support strong local journalism across northern Minnesota. Again, that's till the end of the year. You can give now at kexe.org. Thank you so much for supporting People Powered KAXE. Some donations coming in last night. Thank you, Mary from Pequot Lakes. We sure appreciate that. We also want to thank Julie from New Hope for your support. Loves Green Cheese on the River, the unique songs, and ham radio. Keep it going. And all caps, love it and thank you. Even the end was a capitalized there.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. So many folks, so much generosity yesterday and throughout this year. We thank you so much. We do not take it lightly. We've put our heads down. We're doing the work and even more work. And you look a little like you've been weeping. Are you okay?
No, just age.
Oh, okay.
A little eye seepage.
Oh.
Salty eye seepage in the morning. Right. But that is emotional. That's great. People are doing that for us. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, you know, it makes the programming that you hear, like the morning show, where you feel connected to something. You start your day off with a good start. And then there's also local news that you've been digging into where you find out a lot more. Right now, so the new Season Watch podcast has come out. Have you listened to this yet, John? Mm-mm. Oh, this is the sixth week,
I got to get off.
You're going to hand me your phone when we're done, and I'm going to put it on your phone so you automatically get it through your device. But this week, talking about owl pellets, where there's like little skulls in them that you can examine, was not my favorite topic.
We're talking owl pellets.
Out the mouth.
Out the mouth?
I thought pellets meant the other two. I learned. So you too can learn. I'm learning every week. I'm getting more and more curious. We talk about...
Wait a minute. Let's not get off this yet. They cough up pellets?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the purpose?
Well, they got to get it out of their system. That's how they do it.
That's how they do it?
Eaten.
Okay. We don't have to go anymore. Okay,
Had a conversation on Tuesday with a naturalist from Saxon Bog who keeps things like this in his freezer. Turns out so does John Latimer, so does Charlie Mitchell.
Okay, that's a little disconcerting.
I mean, they don't all keep owl pellets, but things like that because they love examining and looking at things. So each week, the little gifts of nature, joys or horrors that you might find in a naturalist freezer. That's what you can catch there, as well as stories from our region, including an amazing story. I don't know if you caught it Wednesday, John. If you didn't, you're going to have to go back and listen to it. You're an art guy. Kent Estee in conversation with our own Andrew Dzingel about his life of art and how he's figured out how to make a living at it. Really inspiring conversation. So you're going to want to check it out now at KAXE.org.
Speaking of good news, sunny today, highs 35 to 42, light northwest winds. Cloudy tonight, 21 to 31. Saturday, mostly cloudy. Becoming sunny, highs in the mid to upper 40s. South winds 5 to 10, maybe a gust of 20. And then Sunday, mostly clear, highs 45 to 50. And I had something happen to me just a few minutes ago that kind of shook me up and made me understand why this can happen. I was driving down Highway 38 coming to work, very dark out, and a semi was coming, and he or she had his lime green...
bar?
No, fog lights on. Oh. I could not see. Now, why is that legal? I have no vision problems. I could not see.
I don't know if we know if it's legal or not.
I mean, it's early in the morning. Maybe they do that to make it clearer, but there was no fog, and I could not see. And I just wanted to make that statement.
Okay. You seem shaken. That's why you were crying.
I was.
I get it. Coming up, we've got National Native News. We are learning today from them about an important report on the missing and murdered Indigenous persons crisis. It's been removed from the Department of Justice website. Check out that story. We've also got StoryCorps coming up at 7, or after 7 o'clock. Marshall Helmberger is away this week, or he's got too many stories to cover. He's away from KEXE, but always on the job. But we're learning about, remember, every year the StoryCorps project gets us ready for Thanksgiving to interview the people you care about, your elders, your anybody that you might be spending time with. We're getting a wrap-up of a teacher who over the years has assigned that to her students and all the things they learned from their elders in that time. So
we had a little dinner party last night, and there was some serious conversation about planning for Thanksgiving. What am I going to do this year? Something different. The family doesn't like beets. We're going away from beets. What are we going to do?
Yesterday, we had a conversation about the stress of the holidays that is starting, and this need for, it was wrapped up in a lot of different things. This will be available at our website, but you know, not only feeling like you've got to serve every person, so you've got to be a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. And if one person doesn't like beets, then beets are off the table. You know, who knows? But that's always a great reminder. I think I want to make beets next week. But also, though, about, you know, it's hard not to get wrapped up in past memories that might be good, but might be bittersweet, might be difficult. You know, you might celebrate differently. You maybe have lost someone this year, and this is going to be a tough one to get through, one of the first holidays. There's a lot of stress out there. It's a good time to figure out what you need at the holiday. You don't have to please all of the world.
You have to please everybody.
Yeah. How about you? What are you making for Thanksgiving next week?
Really don't do much. A little bit. Just, I mean, you know, the family, like the kids, all go to two or three different things, and I don't want them to have to do the fourth one to come to our house, so...
No turkey?
And Sonia's from Denmark, and, you know, her family's not here. So, yeah, maybe a little turkey and just a little bit of fixins, but no big deal.
Yeah.
It's
about us.
And it feels okay that it's not a real big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. We've done some stuff. We've gone to the, you know, relatives in the Twin Cities that have it's cousins and aunts that have so many people, and it's been super fun, but it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know,
one of the traditions we do, though, is we always have somebody over that's alone.
Mm-hmm.
And have them over so that they don't have to be alone, because it is a difficult time sometimes. So the question of the week is, how do you change when fall turns to winter? Talking just any sort of change, like clothing change.
Right.
Mine is slip-on boots now. I put slip-on boots on now because it's a little dirty, a little wet, a little this, a little that.
Yeah.
I get out the hooded sweatshirts.
I've seen you wearing a hat already.
Yeah. Well, you know, throw that hat on. You know. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, definitely. I have fur-lined shoes and thick socks. My feet get really cold quickly.
Yeah.
So that's sort of a nice thing. To be honest, I cleaned out the pajama drawer, got rid of things that have been there forever that I don't wear, and bought a couple new sets of flannel pajamas.
Nice, Heidi.
So it's feeling kind of nice.
I went and bought myself two shirts, long sleeve shirts.
Yeah.
A pair of jeans.
Wow. The ones you have on?
No, I didn't because they need to be run through the cleaning machine. You know, they need to be cleaned. You don't buy them off the rack and throw them on.
Oh, you got them at a thrift store?
And a belt. No.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, I would just assume. And I got myself a belt.
I see. Nice.
So there you
That's
go.
That's big.
It That's is big.
Big stuff.
Don't like belts.
Oh, okay. We had a giant conversation yesterday, and we don't have to continue it today, except that both Kari and I are kind of obsessed with going to thrift stores and finding cool things. And I've been finding lots of really interesting things and also donating stuff. You know, I like to
Doing
every year,
ways.
I like to, I don't buy like new Christmas things. Mm-hmm. So I like to find them somewhere. And then in a couple years, then I'll donate those and find some other thrift store stuff. And
so when you go in a thrift store, do you have something in mind, or you just go in there like you're looking for nothing, but you might find something?
It can be either way, but it's usually more successful when you have something in mind, you know, and you're looking around, and, or if something sticks with you to go back to it. That happened to me this week where there were two things I wished I had gotten, and I went back, one of them was there. So I felt like that was pretty good.
I almost went yesterday because my new dog is chews up any kind of the animal toys we get for him. Mm-hmm. And animal toys, you go to a store and look for animal toys. They are crazy expensive. So I'm wondering if a person might find a little stuffed animal that a dog could like at a thrift store.
I don't think it's dog specific.
No. Just sure, any kind of, platypus or a duck or a chicken or anything.
There's lots of toys. There's lots of things. And it's a really interesting local history in a weird way.
Yeah.
You see what is there. So always a surprise. Let us know, how are you changing this year? It seems like I'm switching out things and thinking ahead and going more soups or mashed potatoes. I've been making once in a while lately. Pretty good.
Same here. Mm-hmm. I made so many that I got to eat them 4 days in a row. I want to thank Clockwell Brewing Company in Grand Rapids, making traditional old world styles of beer as well as modern classics for 8 years now. Their tap room is open Monday through Thursday, 3 to 8, Fridays and Saturdays, noon to 8, and Sundays, noon to 6. ClockwellBrewing.com.
This is National Native News. I'm Brian Bull, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. Hundreds of evacuees from Western Alaska are staying in Anchorage hotels after last month's storms destroyed their homes. Alona Niden with the Alaska Desk spoke to a few families who are adjusting to their new daily lives so far away from everything they know.
Eli Schengen's room at the Wingate Hotel in Anchorage is crowded. On one bed, she sits with her 2-year-old daughter. Her partner sits on another while their children play nearby.
Small space.
Schengen and her family are among around 650 evacuees from Western Alaska who are staying in Anchorage after being displaced by a devastating storm last month. State and federal agencies are working to rebuild the affected villages. But for many, returning before winter is not an option.
Moving here with our family is okay, but it's not okay. I want to go home.
For Shengin's 9-year-old daughter, Caitlin, that means homeschooling, so she can help her parents take care of her siblings. Schengen says the family gets breakfast every day, but the hotel room has no kitchen, so they order fast food for the remaining meals.
They are used to home-cooked meals all the time. They're used to the native food and stuff, what we eat.
Julia Tutak-Stone is Kipnik's police officer and another evacuee. She's staying at the Aspen Hotel in Anchorage, along with her 2 adult sons and young grandsons, each family in their own room.
It was going to be heartbreaking if they didn't come with me.
Stone says the hotel provides them with free meals and snacks. She takes buses to go to the store and to play bingo. And her grandsons attend the UPIC immersion program at College Gate Elementary School. Her son, Alexei Ahumkathak-Stone, says
they're enjoying their stay here. It's not fun for me, that's for sure, because it's not my kind of life. My life was subsistence.
Back at the Wingate, Schengen says her family has been looking at apartments already. They even filled out paperwork to receive assistance for rent.
But some of us are tired of waiting.
The family especially liked a 2-bedroom apartment they looked at. Schengen says it was big enough for the older children to share their own room.
My family will be happy. I'll be happy because I'll be able to cook my family food.
Schengen already knows what their first meal will be. A rice dish baked in an oven with meat and seasonings. She says that will be enough for the whole family. In Anchorage, I am Alona Knighton.
More than 100 winter items and more than $15,000 were collected this week during a winter coat drive at the National Congress of American Indians annual convention in Seattle. Attendees brought in new coats and other cold weather essentials, from gloves to scarves to hats. The items will help support unsheltered Native people in the city and will also benefit evacuees in Alaska affected by last month's devastating storm. The Seattle Indian Health Board was among organizations that teamed up with NCAI on the coat drive. Abigail Echohawk is the executive vice president of the health board.
It's really important for us as Native people to come, when we come to areas and we think about how we contribute not just to the local economies, but to the people itself. And so here in Seattle, we have a very large unhoused population. Native people in the Seattle area are 10 times more likely than non-Hispanic whites to live unhoused. Housed on the streets of Seattle. And organizations like the Seattle Indian Health Board, United Indians of All Tribes, we work with a lot of these relatives. Having a coat drive really allows us to get some really high quality, nice things out to our communities, both our unhoused relatives and also for our youth and folks who are in need of a nice warm coat in a cold Seattle winter.
Echohawk says distribution of the winter items will begin as soon as her organization receives the donations from NCAI. This is National Native News. I'm Brian Bull.
National Native News, you hear it weekday mornings at this time here on People Powered KAXC. Good morning to you. Hope you're having a good day so far. Hope your coffee is strong. We would love to hear from you about how the seasons are changing. Kind of have it in our head because we've been working on this Season Watch pod where we explore nature and ask questions and look at the changes that are going on. We want to know how you change. Did you, like, do you have a scraper in your car yet, John?
No, I don't do that. That's given in too early. I know it's a
You don't keep it there all year long?
No. Well, I don't know. No, I don't think so. I think I get rid of it.
Oh.
It just brings up bad memories.
Get rid of it? So like throw it away?
No,
and
throw
buy
it in the garage or something. Okay. I don't want to be digging in there and seeing that thing and reminding me that winter's coming.
Wow.
We hope your coffee's warm and your socks are thick.
Oh, somebody doesn't like winter over there.
I don't like cold. I like winter, all right? And it's been fine. I mean, look at this weather forecast. 35 to 42 today.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, upper 40s. And Sunday, we might even hit 50. So it's good. Dog walks every day. My dog got some limes. Heidi just went one day from being the most rambunctious dog to shut down, whimpering, went in, got a med, took the first med. Now it's perfect again. So I don't, you know, they talked about the seriousness of limes with dogs. It's just crazy. And now they're encouraging dog people to put the give them their medication 12 months of the year.
Did you know it was Lyme? Did you guys have
yeah,
you been through that
before? Yeah, because he's had it before. As a youngster, he's had it before and it's classic symptoms. And So he's doing better. But they say that the wood ticks can just lay on a certain level of the snow. And if your dog bumps into it or you bump into it, you still can get it in the wintertime. So.
Yeah. That's because things have changed quite a bit.
Yes, they have.
It doesn't get as cold where it gets rid of them part of the year. And
yeah, there's wood ticks in the winter and owls spit.
Here's what I'm wishing for this winter.
It's cold outside, but there's one thing missing. The sky is gray and the wind is hissing. I can see my breath, I can feel it coming. When it falls from the sky, I'm gonna hit the ground running. I got no money left with no grass to mow. That's why I'm praying for snow, praying for snow. That's why I'm praying for snow, praying for snow. Since fall, we got no money left with no grass to mow. That's
black old grid. What the man says is a front coming in. Winter advisory, 28 miles wide. There's quarter-sized flakes falling from the sky. It won't be long till people can't get to where they need to go. And I'll be plowing snow. I'll be plowing snow. I'll be plowing snow. I'll be plowing snow. They're balanced and matched. I got my car hearts on and my plows attached. I got my front wheels locked. I'm in four-wheel low. There's a foot on the ground and I'm on the go. I was 12 inches away from being on Skid Row. Now I'm plowing snow. Now I'm plowing snow. Now I'm plowing snow. Now I'm plowing snow. Hey!
Whoa, good song, Heidi.
From Minnesota, that is Crankshaft and the Gear Grinders, Praying for Snow. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, we've got the Talkback segment, then Malachi Coons helping us with some live music around our region. Again, thank you for your donation after Give to the Max Day. That 4-1 match stays on the table to the end of the year. If you are looking for ways to support your local community, that's what happens when you donate to KEXE. We dig in deeper. We bring you more and more stories. We just got another donation. Thank you so much to Susan from Cotton. She said, my dog and I love having your company on our morning walks. The local news and the new podcast are excellent, and you have introduced me to so many great musicians and authors. Susan, feel like we know you. We sure appreciate your support this morning. You're keeping us going. It has been a little gray this November.
We'd love to join you on your walks.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank Minnesota Power, an elite company powering the region's homes, businesses, and industries since 1923. Carbon-free future at mnpower.com/energyforward. And Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more at hottubsmn.com. The routine. It's that time where we do the talk back segment of the morning show. You can email your comments to comments@KAXE or text us 218-326-1234.
We heard from Charlotte and Bovee this week, who said congratulations on achieving funding for the news department, which is a valuable service. Thank you, Charlotte.
And Joe from Richfield donated this week and commented, my mom, Lucy, moved to the great beyond recently, and one of the things I loved most about her presence in this world was the way she built joyful community wherever we went. That's exactly what public radio is about, and so supporting this is something I can do to carry on those values in the communities that matter to me. Keep finding ways to connect the local community in joyful ways. Wow. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. You know, we do it all the time, but we are very specific about it on Monday mornings when we all need it. There's a segment we call The Bright Spot, and it is a way to cover the joy of Northern Minnesota. We share most of our web stories on our Facebook page, including one called Bemidji Lumber Mill Loses Major Certification Amid Sex Harassment Claims, and Emily said, thank you for reporting this story.
We also shared an in-studio session, an interview with Megan and the Birdwatchers. Ron from Baxter said, this was a superbly KAXE experience, as always.
We talked to Minnesota Star Tribune columnist Aaron Brown yesterday. His latest article is called, As Minnesota Braces for Winter, Federal Cuts Leave Energy Assistance in Limbo. Someone texted, thank you for having Aaron Brown on, talking about a need for social programs. Great interview.
And Kathleen from Brainerd said, Aaron, I can relate to your story. I can remember waking up to a crust of ice on my shampoo and conditioner as a kid. Today, I'm willing to skimp on a lot of things, but not heat. Like your parents, my dad wouldn't enroll in any social programs. Yeah, I've read his articles. Aaron's very good.
We heard from Jim this morning. He said, I love that we live in a place where we have seasons that change. Winter means feeding the birds and peace and quiet, and I love that. Yeah, it's getting to be time where you can get those bird feeders back out, mm-hmm. you know, and not worry as much about the bears. We love hearing from you. Text us this morning, 218-326-1234. We would love to have an early bird who might want to come to, I mean, it's nice to go out to dinner early and then be done, right? Or,
yeah.
or breakfast.
So yeah, for sure.
Make a reservation for what's for breakfast. We'd love to hear from you. Coming up next, live music in our region.
This is The Set List on KAXC, where we highlight live music around the area for the upcoming week. I'm Malachi Coons. We are taking a look at four shows this week, November 20th through the 22nd, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Virginia, Walker, Nisswa, and Bemidji. Starting things off with the new Iron Range supergroup Rangers at Chair in downtown Virginia. The project is led by Keith Sokola and features Rich Mattson, Jermaine Gemberling, and many other Iron Range musicians. They just released their debut album, Ranger, mixing folk, Americana, and rock and roll, this Thursday, 7 p.m. in Virginia. The same day, Duluth-based jam band Salty Dog are heading to Walker and the Green Scene Market and Eatery at 8 p.m. Salty Dog are led by Jacob and Owen Mann, who grew up in the Walker area and play a funky mix of rock, blues, and folk. They released their latest album, Pepper, in 2024. Salty Dog, Thursday night in Walker. The Grassroots Concert Series continues Friday in Nisswa with the Weary Ramblers at the Journey Church. The Ramblers are a folk duo with mandolin, harmonica, fiddle, and tight harmonies. They will be celebrating the release of their brand new album, Driftwood. It's Weary Ramblers, Friday, 7 p.m. at the Grassroots Concert Series in Nisswa. Finally, singer-songwriter Cage Jamber is playing at Bemidji Brewing on Saturday at 5 p.m. Part of the brewery's Timber Tap series, every other Saturday this winter, Jamber released a pair of singles last year called Golden Life and Kerosene, showcasing his melodic and acoustic style. It's Saturday, 5 p.m. at Bemidji Brewing. If you have information on live music you'd like us to know about, email comments at kaxc.org. The set list is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Coming up at 9, we get more Malachi Coons. It is Headwaters, and that's followed by Minnesota Mixtape. Coming up at 1 o'clock today after the World Cafe, we bring you our volunteer-hosted program. On the River, Annie Lou and Nelson are going to be hosting, and Alyssa Ellen in at 7 o'clock tonight for On the River.
Remember, it's not too early to get a reservation for what's for breakfast. We have that about, 7:45 every morning. We get to learn a little bit about you and what you've had for breakfast.
John, I just want to say thank you. You know, even though I didn't get an invite to the dinner party last night, I got some leftovers today. I got this beautiful looking mousse cake.
In mousse bar, actually. And it is incredible.
You gave me two. I get to bring that home and enjoy
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Thank you. Thanks, Sonia, unless you made it.
No, I didn't make it. No, but I had the idea to bring it to you.
I know you did. I really thank you. That's really great.
But I need to warn you, you have to put whipped cream on it because it is so powerful.
How long have I known you? We don't even have to say those words to each other. Of course you put whipped cream on it. Would there be any dessert where whipped cream is not appropriate?
Oh my gosh, now that you say that, even tapioca pudding, you could have whipped cream.
It's great on like a little squirt of whipped cream on a bowl of ice cream is great.
Mm-hmm. If it's white on white,
yeah,
it still works. That's amazing.
Extra, it's the different textures. It's a lot of different things there. I'm trying to think. I guess maybe why not though? I was going to say maybe a chocolate chip cookie, but no, why not?
Oh,
that
I've
would
done
be
that.
Great.
I've done that.
Make a little... Hightower?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have two chocolate chip cookies, you could actually have a sandwich.
Yeah. I one time made homemade ice cream and homemade chocolate chip cookies and made...
Little sandwiches?
Froze them.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. I remember those at the fair. I would wait all year for that.
Yeah, they're pretty good. So thank you, though. I appreciate it.
No problem. I want to thank Boreal Brushworks Painting in Bemidji, providing full-service interior painting in residential locations throughout northern Minnesota, offering custom kitchen cabinet refinishing, as well as one-room or whole-house repainting. More information at borealbrushworkspainting.com.
If you're looking for things to do this weekend, there's still lots